Hi, everybody. This is Andy Alford, the host of All Andy Alford. I want to let you know that our shows now are on Facebook Live, as well as right here on the All Andy Alford Podcast Network. So our shows are unedited, uncensored, and so full of content. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Follow us on our Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as on Facebook at facebook.com/AllAndyAlford. The views of All Andy Alford are those of Andy's and do not represent the Spotify Podcast Network.
Guess who's back?
All Andy Alford.
And a shot and a goal.
54 runs in the span of the shut out. Dumbino!
Hit to a home run.
Go!
Jeff. That's way back.
Put some extra relish on my hot dog.
Bear down, Chicago Bears.
Choo choo, it's time for All Andy Alford.
You knew it was going to be announced sooner or later. You knew it was going to happen, but I can officially say it. Outdoor hockey is coming to the capital city, Columbus, Ohio. The Jackets have been announced. They are finally getting an outdoor game. We'll talk about it tonight here on All Andy Alford. And speaking of the Jackets finished up their California road trip with a late night in Anaheim last night. Enjoyed the game, but still, lots to talk about. The LA game, San Jose was pretty good, but it can't go back to the Ottawa game. Still, yet again, shows yet again we've got some problems. While the Walleye get ready for a homestand that sees a new opponent for the first time ever coming to the Bank Tank, and Diamond Hands comes to the Huntington Center. The Battle of I-75 commences tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, tip at the Stroh Center, as our Falcons host the Rockets. We'll preview the matchup, as well as look at the rest of college basketball. We're 50 days out from the Masters, but the LPGA is still in the full swing as they're over in Thailand for the Honda Classic. We'll talk about that and so much more on this 2/22/24 edition, February 22nd, 2024. 2 plus 22 It was 24. And this show used to be on Clayfan 2, 3. But it's now on the All Andy Alford Network right here. As you're listening to us and watching to us right here on the All Andy Alford Network. And I love you guys. And welcome in to another edition of All Andy Alford right here on your exclusive home for me. And that is with the All Andy Alford Network. As you are listening to me on the plethora of platforms with regarding of the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you are listening, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight, as you can always be a part of our show by following us on Twitter. It is at All Andy Alford. It is at All Andy Alford, as well as facebook.com/AllAndyAlford. And welcome to the show tonight on this, the 22nd day of February, 2024. I'm a math day freak when it comes to days of the week, so it is the second month, the 22nd day, but the 24th of 2024. 2 plus 22 is 24. I know. Typical dad joke for me, but it is what it is. And welcome into the program. Lots to get into tonight, of course. We're going to preview the battle of I-75 between our Bowling Green State University Falcon men's basketball team and the University of Toledo Rockets tonight. Also, we will dive into the Honda Classic that is happening over in Thailand. I have a coworker who is from Thailand. I had to ask her where this tournament is being held. She says this is held in a tourist destination, so a southern part of Thailand. So it's not where she's originally from, but it is good to see that the LPGA is going international and having this big event in Thailand. We'll talk about it and go over the standings after one round of play, because they play overnight. So they play from 10 p.m. our time to 3 a.m. our time. I watched most of it this morning. I recorded it, watched most of it. And I'll give you what my take is on that as well. Also, we have Elimination Chamber tonight, tomorrow morning happening at Australia. 5 a.m. start time for that one. We'll preview what we saw on the in the wrestling ring, as well as what's happening on the ice rink with regarding of the Walleye. Then, like I said, you could always be a part of our show by following us on X, which is at All Andy Elfrid, or on Twitter, on Facebook, which is at All Andy Elfrid. And you can watch us live. Every podcast is done live on Facebook Live. So I want to get into it. We're going to start first and foremost. Prior to talking hockey, we're going to talk about what we're going to expect next year at this time. Okay? Next year at this time. It was announced on Saturday at the Stadium Series game between the New Jersey Devils and the Philadelphia Flyers. Gary Bettman made the announcement. It was pronounceable. We were talking about it. You heard it here on our podcast the last couple weeks, but it was made official. March 1st, 2025. We go outdoors as our Columbus Blue Jackets will host the Detroit Red Wings at Ohio State Stadium. Ohio State Stadium. It will be March the 1st. We're thinking it's going to be an 8 p.m. puck drop if it is and it's a Saturday night down in the University District of Columbus. I cannot believe I can finally say that Columbus is going to play an outdoor game and be the host of the outdoor game. And it's going to be a party. I'm looking forward to this. And so you're asking me, well, what are you going to do about this? Well, we are in the planning stages of this. We are definitely in the planning stages of this. There is talk, and it is between myself, some of the producers here, and some of the former guests that would have been on this podcast, of course, our good friend Logan Carr, also our good friend Phil Bennett, Lucas Sigerson, a bunch of us are thinking about getting together and renting a house down in Columbus to do podcasts for the 3 days. We'll do a pregame, the day of the game, and a postgame, all happening in Columbus. There's a possibility of that. And if that's the case, we rent this house out, there's a good possibility we'll have a little soiree, meet and greet situation. Also, there's talks of us doing a meetup at a hotel. There's a lot. Because, you know, we do this show based out of Toledo, Ohio. Logan and Phil and a few other people are Red Wing fans. Of course, yours truly is a Blue Jackets fan. Been a Jacket fan since the first day of the season when that logo up top was the top two logos. This is a big day for the city of Columbus. It's a big day for the Columbus Blue Jacket organization after the terrible meetings and terrible season that it has been so far. To see what 2025 has in store for the Jackets with it being the outdoor game is absolutely amazing. It is great to see this happen. I am so looking forward to this game. I really am. And, you know, when they made the announcement, I was just ecstatic. And to go and be a part of something that's going to be this historic. This is going to be a historic game. Because the last time a record like this was trying to be beat, and it happened at Michigan Stadium between Toronto and Detroit, you had over 100,000 people at Michigan Stadium. They're going to try to break the record again in Columbus at the Shoe. Now, the question is, do you add portable seats to get to this record? Do you just add standing room seats to this area? I think that they will probably add some portable seats. I think that they'll add some seats closer to the rink. But I think this is going to be a party atmosphere. The city deserves it. The organization deserves it. Both teams are going to be very, very good. We know how good Detroit is so far this year. And, you know, the Columbus is going to be in this rebuild with a new GM possibly as of next year. New coach hopefully next year. And, you know, guys that want to be a Jacket will want to play in this game. This is a huge biting point for this organization. You know, John Davidson taking over the position as interim GM for right now. It's just a big thing. It's a huge thing for this organization. And he's evaluating the talent and he's evaluating everything. And I, in my opinion, I will just say this plainly and honestly, if I was John Davidson right now, I gut the whole system. I gut and fire Pascal Vincent, especially after the performance in LA and the second period of the Anaheim game. It's just, that shows you the lack of coaching experience that this man has. And the Ottawa game the week before, and it has just been not good. He has not been a good coach all season long. And is this the guy for, is this the right talent to coach this team? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So the question is, who do you go get? You know, there's the GM situation, we need to get that figured out first before we get to the coaching situation. Because with the draft a few months from now, you have the trade deadline that's happening, which will not... I think the Jackets aren't going to be selling much. They're not going to get rid of a lot of the younger talent that they have. They will get some, you know, shed some of the older contracts. I don't think Jenner's leaving. I don't think any of the big names like a Corrali or a Rosovic are going to get traded. And you know that, but that's just me being the homer that I am. I don't think that they get traded. You don't want to get rid of Corrali and Rosovic because of the connection that's in Columbus. Jenner wants to play as a Jacket. Goudreau's with the long-term deal. Provorov and Severson are long-term deals. So you have your core details. Kent Johnson has been a failure this year, but then, you know, that's just the, you know, he's just having his sophomore slump. So you look at what else is out there. Fantelli will stay with the club. We keep him there. Werenski, I have to keep Werenski there just for the fact that he has been the journeyman for this Jacket team, and he needs to stay as a Jacket, and I hope to God that they keep him in a Union blue jersey. Now, can they add pieces to this? I mean, the best thing is that if they get rid of some of the, like a Gabranson would probably be a good name to, you know, just to get a third or a fourth round draft pick would be good. Thinking off the top of my head, a guy like Cole Sillinger's having a good season this year. You have a kid like, you don't get rid of Justin Danforth. Danforth has paid his due. You keep Danforth in there. The question I have in regarding everything is the goaltending situation. Now, Tarasov was really good last night in Anaheim before the injury. He stepped up to the plate in the third after coming back from the injury. He's really good. Merzlikins wants out of Columbus. I don't know if that's a good... Maybe the Karkalainen situation is a good thing. I think if you get rid of Vincent, I think you say to Elvis, you're our number one. We're going to keep you at number one. That would be the key piece to the whole situation. I think that would be awesome. But the question I have is, you know, where do we fall next year? Because we're going to be playing on a national stage in a big environment that is the Horseshoe. And do we want to be embarrassed with the quality of team that's on the ice? Now, they're going to be playing against a Red Wing team that, you know, is very, very good. They're going to be a very good team next year. Possibly a playoff, coming off of a playoff year. And I'm going to say that out loud now. Officially say it, because the Wings are looking very, very good. They finally got that piece with Patrick Kane being their top player, one of their top wingers that is going to help that team out. And everybody's working on the same thing. But the problem they have is goaltending. Goaltending has been a situation with them for the longest period of time, a very long time. And it's going to be an interesting story to see what's going to happen in 2024-2025 season regarding both teams, especially from one year today when we get ready for this stadium series game that's going to take place at Ohio State Stadium. Now, tickets have not been announced when they're going to go on sale. The Jackets are offering the opportunity to get information for season tickets. Now remember, I said this last week on the podcast, and you can go back and listen to it, but I will rephrase this. This is going to be an NHL event. There will not be anything that's going to be Blue Jacket. You know, the Jackets are the host team for this, but this is an NHL event. So this is going to be NHL rules, NHL situations. You're going to have to probably go through Ticketmaster for your tickets. You won't be going through the Blue Jacket thing. And they've also made now note of it to season ticket holders. You know, you could get priority pre-sale tickets for this event. So if you're telling me I have to buy a 6 or a 12 game plan just to qualify for pre-sale for this event, I mean, I will do a 6 game. I could possibly do a 6 game plan. If that means separating it up for 2 tickets for 3 games, I could do that. If that's what the Jackets are going to offer me, I would do that. I would do the game, do opening night, I do a game in March, and a game in April. Because you know that we know it here in Northwest Ohio, and we know it here in the Midwest. The weather is fickle. We don't know how the weather's going to react. Especially if you plan something, you're looking forward to something, and the couple days before you find out it's going to rain or it's going to be a major snowstorm or anything like that, you're taking a gamble when it comes to season tickets. You're taking a gamble when it comes to that. So we shall see. We shall see what happens. But I am ecstatic. I was very, very excited when they made that announcement. Bettman making the announcement. And, you know, we posted on our Facebook page as well as on our X account of all the stuff that they have been announcing. We're going to keep you posted on whether or not we're going to be down. We're going to definitely be down there. We're definitely being down there. It's the question of, is it a hotel? Is it a house? Is it us just doing a tailgate possibly? We don't know. It's a year out, but we got to start planning now, because the problem that this event has now caused is that at the same weekend that this event is happening, further down into downtown at the convention center is the Arnold Classic, the bodybuilding tournament. So Columbus is going to be a hotbed that weekend with all the NHL coming to Columbus for this game. And the bodybuilders coming for this Arnold Classic. And if I was, you know, as a if I was a member of the Bureau of Conventions and, you know, visitor guide, I'm loving what I'm seeing. But I think it's a logistical nightmare when it comes to this. We know that this hockey game will be an 8 o'clock game. We know it will be an outdoor game, 8 o'clock at night. In the middle of March, so you know it's going to be cold, it's going to be frigid. But the question I have is that you've got the Arnold Classic happening downtown, and then you've got the Stadium Series game that's going to happen over at the Shoe. A lot of people. It's going to be a lot of people. You have 100,000 here, probably about 30 to 40,000 through downtown. You're going to be staying either out in Worthington or you're going to be staying out in Dublin just for these events. It's a lot. And remember too, at the same time, that, you know, the NHL makes this a big event. So they're going to need a space for like all the stuff that comes in. So do you think the Schottenstein Center would be there, especially during towards the end of this basketball season for Ohio State, where they're going to have a new coach? And another thing to bring up about the situation with the Stadium Series. They have announced that they will not have an Ohio State hockey game there. Ohio State and Michigan will not play on that ice sheet, which I think is just a detriment to building more relationship with the college hockey teams and the high school teams that are going to be playing. That's going to hurt. I would love to see an Ohio State-Michigan hockey game at the Shoe. We saw it 1 year ago at Cleveland Browns Stadium. It was great to see. That was a neutral site. We got Michigan and Ohio State fans. But now this would be a home game. Why not? Why not make it happen? It would grow the women's college hockey team that's down there with Ohio State and the WCHA, who just won the WCHA tournament. Why doesn't that not want to get grown? You could have countless minor midgets and little kids playing on that sheet after the Stadium Series is done. And what I was told by a good reliable source is that with the new college playoff rules happening and everybody's top seed getting a home game, Ohio State Stadium could have a college playoff game happening in December. okay? It's going to happen late in December. Now remember that. If it happens in late December, that's going to push everything back. They're going to have to be building the plumbing round the clock to March, to the end of February, to the early at the middle of February, just to have the capability and the facilities available to do this outdoor game. So the question I have is, you know, is it going to be done? It's going to be done, but is it going to be, you know, you want to grow the game, and B, you don't want to stretch your time limit too much. That's going to cause problems. Now, we don't have it. We're hoping that we don't have any weather problems that day on the 1st, where it's going to be like warm like it is outside right now here in Northwest Ohio. We're in the mid-50s. It'll be in the 50s today, where we're going to be sitting out. I'll be sitting out at the Shoe in Columbus in like 55-degree weather and bundled up with just my winter coat, my jersey, and maybe this thermal. And maybe just some thermal pants. I want the experience. I want the 20-degree weather. I want to have my hand warmers and my gloves. I want to wear a beanie. I want to wear the third jersey. I want to be that guy. But the thing is, to grow the game, it would be great to have both Ohio State and Michigan play against each other on that sheet. The WCHA play the Ohio State women's team to play, and all these little kids that want to play. So hope the league can figure that out, and hope the organizations can figure it out. Both ADs, all the ADs, especially Ohio State athletic director, the new director that they got. Hope they can figure it out. It'd be nice. It'd be absolutely nice to see. Absolutely nice to see. So timing is one thing. The capability is another thing. And, you know, the fans will come. It's like they say, if you build it, they will come. And everybody's looking forward to this one. I'm looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it. My wife's not looking forward to it because it's our anniversary of when we started dating on March the 1st. She already told me, you're good. Go. You've been waiting for this. Go. That's why I love her. That's why I love you guys. As you're watching and listening to All Andy Alford today right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you for tuning into the show tonight right here. And now let's talk a little Jackets hockey, of course. Jackets were on the ice last night, and they finished up the California road trip. Let's take a look at the California road trip here. It goes back to the fact that, you know, this organization and this city deserves this outdoor game. It does. And I've seen your comments on, going back, I've seen your comments on Facebook of what they have said, of what you said, that this outdoor game has gone boring. It has, you know, it's lost its meaning. It is, it's not good. Let me just tell you this. Shut up. Let me enjoy this. How many times have I seen Rangers playing in an outdoor game? How many times have I seen Boston, Philadelphia? Hell, you had Seattle in it and Vegas getting it this year. How many times have I seen Philadelphia play it? Chicago. I mean, we're getting Chicago and St. Louis yet again in a Winter Classic. We just had them in a Winter Classic a few years ago at Busch Stadium. We're getting them again this upcoming season at Wrigley. I mean, let me enjoy it. Let me enjoy this. Let me enjoy it. Plain and simple. So the Jackets were on. Now we're going to dive into what this California road trip for the Jackets. Jackets gets 4 out of 6 points out of this California road trip, and it was great to see. Absolutely great to see. And they started the road trip on Saturday night in SAP Center in San Jose, California. But the former Jack and Anthony Duclair decided to break up the party early on, for San Jose jumping out to the early 1-0 lead before Zach Werenski getting his second of the season from Goudreau and Rossovic, tying the game at one apiece at the 15-16 mark of the period. And then Kirill Marchenko getting his 16th of the season from Chinnikov and Gabranson, making it a 2-1 game at the 16-24 mark of the first period. It was 2-1 Jackets after 20 minutes of play. And then Dmitry Volkov getting his 14th of the season from Yegor Chinnikov and Eric DeBranson, making it a 3-1 Jackets lead. Then Duclair getting his second of the night, his 11th of the season from Sutherland and Addison, making it a 3-2 game. You figured that the Jackets would try to battle it back, but San Jose yet kept on coming, as it was Fabian Zemlin getting his 15th of the season from Addison and Grenland on the power play, beating Elvis Merzlikins, and it was a 3-3 San Jose lead after 40 minutes of play. Now, both teams went back and forth into that third period. A lot of great chances. I thought Gaudreau was going to finally get into the back of the net. Challenge. Got screwed out of the challenge. And was no goal. But with less than 12 seconds to go in regulation, Jenner takes the shot, comes down the ring, takes the shot, puts it into the back of the net. Jackets lead 4-3. That was the final at SAP Center. The Jackets getting a huge win, 4-3, after the embarrassment loss against Ottawa a few games before. They get a big 4-3 win against the San Jose Sharks. San Jose is not that good this year, but it's a huge step in the right momentum after the firing of Yarmo the first game back. They come back and they win 4-3 against San Jose. They outshot the Sharks in the game 41-31. San Jose 52% on the faceoff dot to Columbus's 48%. Columbus 0-for-3 on the power play, while San Jose was 1-for-4. San Jose out-hit Columbus in the game 24-16. In the game, the three stars of the game were as follows. It was Jenner, the number one star, Duclair, the number two star, Zetterlin, the number three star in the game. It was Elvis Merzlikins getting the start. He stopped 28 of 31, save percentage of a .903 for San Jose in the game. It was Kekalin stopping 37 of 41, .902 save percentage in the game on Saturday night at SAP Center. Game ended around 1:30 in the morning. It was a long night. I don't like these California games. It makes me want to have more coffee in the morning and the afternoon just to make sure I get through the night, especially with these late games that happen. But, you know, you watch it for your fandom, and this, you know, you do it twice. I do it twice a year with the Western Canadian trip and this trip. Luckily, it was like right and around the same time frame, so it was good to see. So then the Jackets were off till Tuesday. They went into Crypto Arena, formerly Staples Center, to take on the LA Kings. I thought the Jackets started off pretty well. They played solidly, but when you have a highlight reel goal in Quinton Byfield, you have to say. That this kid was made the absolute play. It reminded me of the Rick Nash goal when he scored against Arizona a few years ago. It was great to, you know, it's not great to have it happen against your team, but Quinton Byfield was just that was an absolutely beautiful play. Goes unassisted, gets his 18th of the season, beating Elvis Merzlikins, and it was 1-0 LA after 20 minutes of play. So I'm saying to myself, okay, you know. And LA is pretty good this year. The Kings are really, really good this year. I'm saying to myself, let's just try to be competitive. Let's stay with it. You know, it's fine. And the former Jacket kills his former team, Pierre-Luc Dubois. Gets on the score sheet for his 12th of the season from Clark and Talbot. On the power play, a minute 27 into the second period, it's 2-0 Kings. The Jackets do cut the deficit into half as Adam Boqvist gets the goal. His first of the season from Jenner and Rossovic. It's a 2-1 game, but then Dubois, even strength again, gets a second of the campaign from Byfield and Chukot. It's 3-1 Kings after 40 minutes of play. Third period comes along. It's all Kings in this dominating game. Kavala from Doughty and Kempe on the power play. Again, capitalizing. It's 4-1 Kings. Doughty puts it into the empty net. Makes it a 5-1 win. Doughty from Moore and Pedro. It was 5-1 was the final at Crypto Arena on Tuesday. And that was really an embarrassment game for the Jackets. It really was. You could tell that they were not coached well in that game to get up for and to get up for that game as well. So it was bad. It was absolutely bad. Jackets were outshot 35-33 in the game. Columbus 47% on the faceoff dot to LA's 53% on the faceoff dot. Columbus 0-for-3 on the power play while LA had two power plays. They capitalized on both power plays. They were running at 100%. Jackets did outhit the Kings 27-15 in the game. Merzlikins got the start, stopped 30 of 35, save percentage of a .857 for the Kings. It was Talbot who stopped 32 of 33, save percentage of a .970 in the game. But by the way, the three stars of the game, Dubois, the number one star, Byfield, the number two star, and Cam Talbot, the number three star in the game on Tuesday night. Then we get to last night. Huge game. Final game of the road trip. Jackets will be home now for nine of the next 12 games are at Nationwide going forward. Great to see. Absolutely great to see. And last night was the end of the California trip. They went into Anaheim to battle the Ducks. And it was nice to see. The first goal was really a shot that, you know, I was very, very surprised it went in. Gibson was the goaltender for Anaheim in the game. Jenner went in behind the net and took the puck, shot it against Gibson. Gibson fell back. It stood there next to the post. Werenski then taps it in and capitalizes. Oh, that was the third goal. Werenski got the first goal, jumped out to the early lead, his third of the campaign, 1-0 from Goudreau and Roslovic. And then Goudreau finally gets on the score sheet with his eighth of the season. He hasn't scored in the last 18 games. He's got his first in 18 games from Jake Bean. It was a 2-on-1. Jenner was sitting to the right side. Goudreau just waited and waited and waited and buried it past Gibson. It was 2-0. The third goal was the one I was just talking about. Jenner had the opportunity, took the shot, went off of Gibson. Gibson fell back, felt like he had the puck, but the puck was next to him on the side. Werenski taps it in, and it's 3-0 Columbus from Jenner and Roslovic. 3-0 Jackets after 20 minutes. And then a bad break by Gibson to start in the second period. Bad break. Gibson goes to play the puck. It gets picked up by Texier. Texier then puts it in front of the net where Sean Corrali is, and Corrali buries him. 4-0 Jackets. With 22 minutes and 49 seconds into the game, Jackets had a 4-0 lead. 4-0 lead. You know what's coming. The shit hits the fan. It doesn't happen in the third period. It happened in the second period. Troy Terry from Callum and Furtado makes it 4-1. And then this was the play right here that really got me. So play was happening in front of Tarasov. Tarasov's got the start for the Jackets. Tarasov's getting play, is watching the play. Boquist's stick gets lifted, goes into Tarasov's mask. He gets clipped in the eye. Goes down. McTavish is there with the puck and buries it past him. From Terry and Pauloff, even strength, it's 4-2, and Tarasov goes off the ice. Tarasov goes off the ice. Berzlinkis comes in. Cold. Comes in cold. Cold. And I mean cold. And two bad breaks. Two bad breakouts for the Jackets. McTavish gets his second of the period, second of the game, 17th of the season on a 2-on-1. Beats Merzlinkits. It's 4-3. And then another bad break. A tic-tac-toe play, and Alex Killorn gets the puck and buries it past Elvis Merzlinkits. And from a 4-0 lead halfway through the second period, go on. 4-4. After 40. And I'm saying to myself, oh, God, I hope Tarasov's okay. Please, God, let Tarasov be okay. He came back in the third period. Thank God. And he played lights out. He tear it up in the third period. Fantastic job. And the offense was there to help him and to rebound and to pick up the play. And Anaheim is just terrible this season. Absolutely terrible this season. Chinnikov gets his 15th of the campaign, 6:50 mark of the period from Gaudreau and Jenner. It's 5-4. And then Corrali gets his second of the night, 9th of the season from Sillinger and Texier. Even strength about a minute later. It's 6-4. And then Jenner buries it into the empty net. From Severson, it's 7-4. That was the final at Honda Center yesterday. The Jackets, a huge win. 4 out of 6 points in the California trip. We'll take it with a 7-4 win over the Ducks. Jackets were outshot in the game, 31-27. The Jackets were beaten the faceoff dot, 53% to 47%. Both teams did not capitalize on power play opportunities. Columbus 0 for 2, Anaheim 0 for 4. It was 22 minutes. 22 hits for the Jackets, 28 for the Ducks. And I go back to this Merzlinkits situation. Tarasov, 27 for 29. Save percentage, a .931. Merzlinkits fought two shots. You want to guess how many stopped? None of them. Unbelievable. And you want to be the number one. I know you took the night off, but you've got to be fresh. Gibson went the distance, stopped 20 of 26, save percentage of .769. He was left out to dry in that game. Plain and simple. So the Jackets, 4 out of 6 points against Anaheim. Great to see. And if the Jackets would have lost the game against Anaheim last night, they would have been the worst team in the league. Officially, the worst team in the league. Because Columbus has games at hand over Anaheim right now. If you're playing head-to-head. So, if you're looking at it, we should have lost and we could have gotten the number one draft pick. Possibly. But remember, it's the lottery system. We had the number one pick. Could have had the number one pick last year. We played it today, yeah. And what did we get? The number three pick. But we got Fantilli. I'll take it. Absolutely take it. So the Jackets will now return back home on the 23rd to play Buffalo tomorrow night at the Schwide. And then they will host the Rangers on Sunday, 6 p.m. drop for that one, before they go to New York on the 28th to play Carolina. And then they're home the next night to play the Carolina Hurricanes. Then they go to Chicago on March the 2nd, home to Vegas for a Monday night game, 7 o'clock. And then the month of March sees them on the road for every Tuesday in March. Pittsburgh, Montreal, Detroit, which we will be at on the 19th. Again, like I mentioned before, Ollie and Alfred invades the slice on the 19th. We will be there for that game. They will play host to Edmonton. Nashville is a home game on the 9th of March. It's a 12:30 puck drop for that one. And then they are in Montreal to battle the Canadiens. So there's that for you. Looking around the rest of the NHL last night of light schedule, five games. The Sabres were a winner over Montreal 3-2. Flyers a big 3-1 win over the Hawks. Austin Matthews getting his 50th goal of the season. Gets the Leafs a 6-3 win over the Arizona Coyotes. And in overtime, the Bruins getting a 6-5 win over the Edmonton Oilers. Tonight on the docket on this, the 22nd day of February, Florida is in Carolina. It is Colorado in Detroit to battle the Wings. Huge game for that. Rangers and Devils. Stars and Senators. Canadiens are in Pittsburgh to battle the Penguins. Tampa's hosting Washington. It is the Islanders are in St. Louis to battle the Blues. Bruins are in Calgary to battle the Flames. Seattle hosts Vancouver. Toronto is in Vegas to battle the Golden Knights. And Nashville is in L.A. to battle the Kings. Looking at the standings going into tonight's play, Metropolitan Division looks like this. Top teams are as follows. The Rangers are in the top spot at 37-16-3 with 77 points. Metropolitan Division, this is what we're calling right now. In second is Carolina at 33-17-5 with 71 points. Philadelphia 30-20-7 with 67 points. On the outside looking in are the Devils at 28-23-4 with 60 points. The Islanders 23-18-14 with 60 points. Washington 25-21-8 with 58 points. Pittsburgh 24-21-8 with 56 points. The Jackets are 18-27-10 with 46 points. In the Atlantic Division, Boston, top spot, 34-12-11 at 79 points in the Atlantic Division. Florida, 37-15-4 with 78 points. Toronto, 31-16-8 with 70 points. Tampa at 30-22-5 with 65 points. Detroit 29-20-6 with 64 points. Buffalo 25-27-4 with 54 points. Montreal 22-26-8 with 52 points. And the Ottawa Senators are 23-27-3 with 49 points. Jackets are the worst team in the Eastern Conference at 18-27-10 with 46 points. But they're not far off from the Senators in points-wise. They're 3 points behind the Senators in that realm. And the Western Conference looks like this. Dallas, top spot in the Central Division at 34-15-8 with 76 points. Colorado, 35-18-4 with 74 points. Winnipeg is 34-15-5 with 73 points. St. Louis is 29-24-2 with 60 points. Nashville is 29-25-2 with 60 points. Minnesota, 26-24-6 with 58 points. Arizona, 23-29-4 with 50 points. And the Chicago Blackhawks are 15-39-3 with 33 points. Pacific Division, Vancouver, top spot, 37-15-6 with 80 points. They're the first team to get to 80 points. Vegas is 32-18-6 with 70 points. Edmonton, 33-18-2 with 68 points. The Kings are 28-16-10 with 66 points. Seattle is in fifth at 23-21-11 with 57 points. Calgary, 26-25-5 with 57 points. Anaheim, 20-34-2 with 42 points. And the San Jose Sharks are 15-35-5 with 35 points. So there is where it stands right now. Like I said, the worst team in the league right now is the Chicago Blackhawks at 15-39-3 with 33 points. Columbus has got 46 points. So they are better in points-wise, 16 points better than the worst team in the league right now. So there's that news and notes to pass along to today on All Andy Alford in the NHL. Of course, it looks like Mark Stone is out week to week with an upper body injury for Vegas, so that's something to keep an eye on too as well. It looks like with the trade deadline coming around the corner, it looks like a lot of moving is going on. It looks like Noah Hanifin and is going to get moved. It looks like and Christian Tardy is going to get moved. They're in the lineup tonight. It looks like Jake Guentzel could possibly get moved from the Pittsburgh Penguins. Vegas announced, like I said, Stone's out week to week with an upper body injury. which is bad news for the Vegas Golden Knights, especially with Vegas still in the mathematical hunt in second place, actually, in the Pacific Division. So that's going to be a blow a little bit right there with that. But the Jackets back in action tomorrow night against the Buffalo Sabres, 7 o'clock drop at the Schwai. Get your tickets going to BlueJackets.com, BlueJackets.NHL.com, or Ticketmaster for all your ticket information. As you are watching and listening to All Andy Elford tonight right here on the All Andy Elford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you for tuning in. And now let's hit the pond. Let's talk a little Walleye hockey. Walleye coming back home to the Huntington Center for three big games this weekend, and two of which are against an opponent we haven't seen ever in the Huntington Center or in the organization's history. Let's dive into what's happening with the Walleye. Walleye coming off of a huge road series. They come back to the Huntington Center this weekend. Huge games at the Bank Tank. Lots to get into tonight. Let's dive right into what we witnessed last weekend as the Fish were on the road last week. A huge game in Cincinnati to take on the Cyclones. The Fish held their own. They held their own in Heritage Bank Arena. As Sam Craig got the scoring started for his 24th of the season, Keenan and Bliss, it was 1-0 Fish. But then at the 17:07 mark of the first period, Ben Hawchuk getting his first of the season from Aaron Miller, tying the game at one apiece, and that's where it stood after 20 minutes. But then the Fish really turned it on with two power play goals by Brandon Hawkins and an even strength goal for Hawkins, getting a hat trick in the game. And Trenton Bliss also capitalizing with his 17th of the season. Hawkins' goals, 26th, 27th, and 28th of the season. But then James Smerick getting a goal for the Cyclones, his 10th of the season, making the lead a 5-2 Fish lead. The Fish then capitalized. The Cyclones capitalize with Colin Kazik getting his 5th of the season from Miller and Hawchuk. It makes it a 5-3 game. Riley McCourt capitalizes, getting the final dagger for the Fish, getting his 4th of the season from Bliss and Santazzo. But then with less than a minute to play on the power play, Isaac from Andrusiak and Smerick gives the Cyclones a 6-4 disadvantage, and that was the final at Heritage Bank Arena. The Fish power through and beat the Cyclones 6-4 on Friday night. Toledo outshot Cincinnati in the game 30-19. Toledo 2-for-4 on the power play. Cincinnati 1-for-3 on the power play for the Fish. It was John Lethemon stopping 15 of 19 in the game. Good save percentage right there of a .895 for the Cyclones in the game. It was Pedro starring 24 of 30 save percentage of a .864. So the Fish getting a huge win over the Cyclones by a score of 6-4. The three stars of the game: McCourt, the number 3 star; Trenton Bliss, the number 2 star; and Hawkins getting the hat trick, getting the number 1 overall star in the game. By the way, the referee was Sam Hittleman. 6,780 were in attendance at Heritage Bank Arena. Game was 2 hours and 26 minutes. So the Fish getting a huge win over the Cyclones last Friday on the 16th. You look around the rest of the East Coast League that night, it was Adirondack, a 5-2 win over Reading. Kalamazoo, a 4-3 win over Fort Wayne in K-Wings Event Center. It was Jacksonville, a 2-1 win over Florida in overtime. How about South Carolina shutting out Greenville 7-0 last Friday night? Norfolk, a 5-4 win over the Maine Mariners. Savannah, a 4-1 win over Atlanta. Indy puts a pounding on the Heartlanders by the score of 7-1. Allen, a 4-2 win over Tulsa. Kansas City, a 5-2 win over Wichita. Idaho, a 5-4 win over Rapid City. And the winning streak ends for Wheeling in Utah. The Grizzlies, a 4-2 win over the Wheeling Nailers on Friday night. We get to Saturday on the 17th. The Fish travel to Kalamazoo to take on the K-Wings, and the Wings got the better of the Fish. The Fish were clipped by the K-Wings, and it all started off with Sudfeld getting his first of the season from Knopf and McDonald. It was 1-0 Kalamazoo, 30 seconds into the first period of play. And then at the 8:19 mark, Luke Morgan on the power play capitalizes from Desick and Norquist. It's 2-0 Kalamazoo before Alex Duchette getting his ninth of the season from Sawchuk and Lewandowski. And it was a 2-1 K-Wings lead after 20 minutes of play. In the second period, Morrison capitalizes, standing the lead for the Kalamazoo Wings, getting his eighth of the season from Adams and Morgan, making it a 3-1 Kalamazoo lead. Hawkins in the third period capitalizes on the power play for his 29th of the season from McCourt and Sentazzo. It's 3-2 K-Wings, but the K-Wings put into the empty net on the power play. Eric Bradford gets his 18th of the season from Joyous and Solomon, and that was the final on Wizard Night. And I knew a lot of the Walleye fans made the trek to K-Wings Event Center for that game. They got disappointed in this one. The Fish fall to Kalamazoo by the score of 4-2. Both teams even on their shots. They both had 30 shots on goal. Toledo 1-for-5 on the power play. Kalamazoo 2-for-3 on the power play. It was Morrison, the number one star, Luke Morgan, the number two star, and George Steffelt, the number three star in the game. It was Jan Bednar starting for the Fish, stopping 26 of 29, save percentage of a .925. For Kalamazoo in the game, Hunter Folter stopping 28 of 30, save percentage of a .950 in the game. 5,071 in attendance at Wings Event Center. David Lilly was the referee in the game on Saturday night at the K-Wings Event Center, seeing the Fish fall to the K-Wings by the score of 4-2. Looking around the rest of the league on Saturday night, Tulsa a 3-1 win over Allen. Norfolk a 4-2 win over Maine. Florida gets their revenge and beats South Carolina 4-1. The Three Rivers Lions fall to Adirondack 3-0. Newfoundland falls in a shootout in Reading 4-3. Jacksonville a 5-2 win over the Savannah Ghost Pirates. Greenville a 4-2 win over Atlanta. Indy a 5-2 win over Iowa. Wichita a 5-3 win over Kansas City. Idaho wins over Rapid City 3-1. Utah beats Wheeling again 2-1 in Maverick Center. And I want to get into this game in Fort Wayne that happened on Saturday night. Now, wanted to talk about this really quickly. This game Saturday night in Fort Wayne was a doozy. Was a real doozy. And Druziak started the scoring. Ethan DeLong for Fort Wayne scored in the second period. It was chippy at the beginning of warm-ups. Both teams met at center ice, and there was a lot of jawing and a lot of talk and a lot of movement. And you would want to guess Sam Hittleman was the referee, so it was good to see that he was the referee in this game. But there was a lot of chit-chat, a lot of talking, a lot of movement in the game. And Daniel Ansbury, Diamond Hands, and Brett Boucherot, the coach, served with an unsportsmanlike conduct in the game. It was chippy. Ansbury is the guy we're going to be looking forward to watching on Sunday. He is Diamond Hands. He's played 5 games for Fort Wayne. But Fort Wayne did get fell to Cincinnati 4-3 in the game on Saturday night. Sunday, Greenville a winner 6-1 over Atlanta. Jacksonville a 4-2 win over Savannah. Maine a 3-2 win over Norfolk. South Carolina a 3-1 win over Florida. Fort Wayne falls to Cincinnati again 4-1 on Sunday afternoon at the Coliseum. And Druziak, Smerick with 2 in the game. And Pereiro And then Jake Chalson getting it. But it was bad. Sunday was worse. Let me give you these penalties, what happened on Sunday. You can go back on your flow to watch this. This all happened at the 13:10 mark of the period. Diamond Hands got caught with a cross-check penalty, served a two-minute penalty, and then he was given a misconduct penalty. Jack Dugan was given a misconduct penalty. And then the coach was kicked out with a bench game misconduct for abuse of an official. David Lilly was the referee. Lilly did the game against Toledo the night before. 8,969 were in attendance. I mean, it was bad. It got worse. Kevin got caught with a slash. Penitent got argued and was caused with an abuse of official game misconduct. Fort Wayne's going to lose a lot of players this weekend for the game misconducts and the abuse of officials. A lot of fines were offered this game. But yeah. Cincinnati skated with a 4-1 win in that one. And Wichita won 5-2 over Tulsa. Monday, there was a small slate of games in the afternoon. Wheeling did get back onto the winning page Monday afternoon as they went 4-2 over Utah, Reading a 2-1 win over Newfoundland, and Worcester beating a 4-2 win over Orlando on President's Day. Wednesday, last night, saw some games in the East Coast League. Maine falling to Kalamazoo 3-2 in overtime. South Carolina, a 3-1 win over Atlanta. Newfoundland beats Reading 5-3. Savannah falls to Jacksonville 4-3. It was the Worcester Oilers falling to the Florida Everblades 3-1. Iowa loses to Wichita 5-4. Looking at games tonight, one game, Rapid City is in Greenville to battle the Swamp Rabbits. The slate looks like this for this weekend in the East Coast League, and then we'll get to the Walleye slate. Reading is in Adirondack. Wichita is in Indianapolis. Jacksonville is in Orlando. Three Rivers will host Newfoundland. South Carolina is in Norfolk. Fort Wayne travels to Wheeling for a big series. Worcester is in Florida. Atlanta is in Savannah. Iowa is in Cincinnati. Idaho is in Tulsa. Utah is in Kansas City Friday night. The Fish will start their weekend series against the Maine Mariners, who just lost last night to the Kalamazoo Wings in overtime 4-3. They'll play Kalamazoo tomorrow night, 7:15 puck drop for that one. They will play them again Saturday, 7:15 puck drop. Around the rest of the East Coast League, like I said, Newfoundland is in Three Rivers, South Carolina is in Norfolk, Reading is in Adirondack, Worcester will continue their road trip in Florida, Wichita is in Indiana to take on the Indy Fuel, Atlanta travels to Orlando, Rapid City is in Greenville, Utah is in Kansas City, Kalamazoo travels to Wheeling to battle the Nailers, Iowa's in Cincinnati, and Idaho is in Tulsa. Sunday looks like this, Atlanta is in Orlando, Maine, then after the two games against Toledo Friday and Saturday, will travel to Cincinnati for a 3 o'clock drop for that one. So four games in 5 days. That is a very tough schedule for the Maine Mariners there. So seeing what they're going to look like after Sunday is going to be interesting. Rapid City's in Greenville. Kalamazoo is in Wheeling for the second night. Utah is in Kansas City. Idaho is in Tulsa. And the final game will be, the game we'll be at, as Daniel Ansbury and the Fort Wayne Comets will come to the Bank Tank for the first time this season with him in the lineup against the Fish. Huge game. It is a huge game. If you, the tickets are very limited on the Sunday game. It's Sunday Kids Takeover Day. But if you don't have, if you can get these tickets on the secondary market, get them. Go to this game. This is a huge matchup because of the fact that this guy was banned from the Federal Hockey League, is now playing for Fort Wayne, and we're going to play against him. It's going to be my first time taking a look at this kid in person. This guy in person. It's 5:15 puck drop. Get your tickets. There'll be no games Monday. Indy is in at home on Tuesday to take on the Cyclones. Wednesday, full slate. Atlanta is hosting Jacksonville. Wheeling is in Reading. Adirondack is in Norfolk. Kansas City is in Tulsa. Savannah's in Rapid City. And Utah is in Idaho. How does that work again? Savannah, Georgia goes out to Rapid City, South Dakota. Again, I'll say it again. They couldn't get them to come to Toledo. We get Maine. That's fine. We have never seen Maine. But any South team that comes into town, how about Savannah? Just going to say that. Fines and suspensions were announced. Boosters, Artem Kusov has suspended one game for his actions against Florida. But I want to get to, let's see if I can get to it really quickly. What was it? The 19th? By the way, Brandon Hawkins was announced as the ECHL Player of the Week last week. So good to see that. And remember, get your copy of the Hockey News, the Rookie Edition. If you can go to any newsstand, get the copy. Of course, I made mention of this last week on the show. Good article on the Blue Jackets and the Russian line of Verchenko, Provorov, and Severson. Good article, but if you're a Walleye fan, this is the one you want. Good article on Brandon Hawkins. Definitely recommend. Go get this issue. I might take this down to the rink on Sunday, see if he can get it signed. Might take this down to the rink and get it signed. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. But like I said, here are the suspensions that were given out from Sunday's altercation that happened in Fort Wayne. Jack Dugan and Mark Antoinette Pepin and head coach Jesse Collin have all been fined undisclosed amounts as a result of their actions against Cincinnati on the 18th. Dugan and Pepin have been fined under the Rule 28. Under the collective bargaining agreement, Kaklin has been fined a supplementary dispute as of the misconduct that he was given following the game on. So they got all fined, no suspension. No suspension out of the whole situation. No suspension. No suspension out of the whole thing. It's good to see. So they'll all be in the lineup. Today, by the way, if you're looking at transactions today to get ready for the weekend series, Ian Pepin has been loaned to Hartford. Colin Curran has been recalled by Bakersfield for Fort Wayne. Toledo has not added anybody. Rest of the division. Kalamazoo has added Brandon Sargon from active injured reserve. Jake Olmstead has been activated. Evan Doherty has been placed on reserve. And Mason Efroff has been placed on reserve. Iowa has added Louis Baron from Iowa. And they have put Anthony Ferraro on loan. Wheeling has goaltender Taylor Gottner has been recalled by Wilkes-Barre Scranton. So there's that. So those are the transactions. And like I said, there's only one game on the slate tonight. Rapid City is in Greenville to battle the Swamp Rabbits. So with that in mind, let's take a look at the standings going into this weekend's play in the East Coast Hockey League. Toledo is still in the top spot at 28-10-4-5 with 65 points. Wheeling 29-18-1-1 with 60 points. Indianapolis is 28-8-17-4-0 with 60 points. And Kalamazoo is 26-19-3-0 with 55 points. Fort Wayne is 24-22-2-3 with 53 points. Cincinnati 23-22, 4-0 with 50 points. By the way, Toledo 47 games played. Wheeling 49 games played. Indianapolis 49 games played. Kalamazoo 48 games played. Fort Wayne 51 games played. Games at hand are what we have. Toledo has only 47 games played. So they have games at hand. And by the way, Iowa 19-24, 5-2 with 45 points. That's the Western Conference and Central Division. And the Mountain Division is led by the Kansas City Mavericks at 36-9-2-1 with 75 points. The Idaho Steelheads are 33-13-2-1 with 69 points. Tulsa 23-21-4-1 with 51 points. Utah 23-25-1-0 with 47 points. The Allen Americans are 22-25-2-1 and with 47 points. Wichita is 17-26, 7-0 with 40 points. And the Rapid City Rush are 19-28, 2-0 with 40 points. In the Eastern Conference North Division is led by the Adirondack Thunder at 32-11, 4-2 with 70 points. Norfolk is 27-19, 3-1 with 58 points. Newfoundland 23-20, 7-2 with 55 points. Worcester's 22-21, 4-2 with 50 points. The Maine Mariners going into this weekend series with Toledo are 20-22, 6-0 with 46 points. So they are playing for a playoff position right now. Reading 19-23, 5-2 with 45 points. And the Lions of Three Rivers are 19-24, 3-2 with 43 points. South Division looks like this. Greenville top spot 34-15, 2-0 with 70 points. Jacksonville 32-15, 4-0 with 68 points. South Carolina 31-17. 2-1 with 65 points. Florida 25-15, 7-2 with 59 points. Orlando 24-17, 6-2 with 56 points. Savannah 18-28, 4-1 with 41 points. And the Atlanta Gladiators are 17-32, 2-1 with 37 points. The worst team in the East Coast League are the Atlanta Gladiators at 17-32, 2-1. With 37 points. And that's your look around the pond on this edition of All Andy Alford. And you're listening to All Andy Alford tonight right here on the All Andy Alford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening. Thank you so much for tuning into the show tonight. And now let's dive into some other sports and preview the battle of High 75 between our Bowling Green State University Falcons men's basketball team and the University of Toledo Rockets men's basketball team. So we're now into the other sports, of course, as we are now in the lull period as we get ready for spring training baseball, which is around the corner. We'll have our special baseball preview edition, which will come up in March, later in March, before opening day. Of course, we're trying to get Lucas's dates down as well as Logan's dates out so we could get that taped for the and we won't do the, unfortunately, we won't have that here on our Facebook Live stream, but we will have that available on our All Andy Alford platform podcast, so you'll be able to exclusively listen to that. We might post the audio for that on the Facebook Live show, just for you to listen to it, to hear the MLB preview edition show, which will be coming up in March, so we're working on dates with that, but spring training baseball is in swings. Pitchers and catchers reported last week. We are now full team workouts are taking place as we speak. First games actually, I believe, started today, if I'm not mistaken. We actually have one game going on right now. The Dodgers and the Padres are playing right now on ESPN. The Dodgers up 8-1 at the bottom of the fifth inning right now as we speak. Games tomorrow around the MLB. Kansas City is taking on Texas. San Diego will take on the Dodgers. Cubs and White Sox on 3:05, and Diamondbacks and Rockies on Friday. Saturday, everybody's basically playing. Atlanta, Tampa, Boston, Baltimore, Marlins, Cardinals, Yankees will be playing in Detroit, Pirates, Twins, Phillies, Blue Jays, Cardinals with a split squad will go to also play the Mets, Cubs and Giants, the Reds will play the Guardians. 3:05 first pitch that game on Bally Sports. Rockies and Athletics, Mariners and White Sox, Royals and Rangers, Rockies and Diamondbacks, Dodgers and Angels, Padres and Brewers, and Nationals hosting the Astros. So there's that for you. But, of course, we're now into getting closer to March Madness, the dance, as we get ready for that, of course. But we're going to get into what the big matchup is this weekend happening at the Stroh Center, 7 o'clock tip at the Stroh Center, as the 16-10 Bowling Green State University Falcons men's basketball team will take on Todd Kowalczyk and the 17-9 Toledo Rockets. They'll come to the Stroh Center, 7 o'clock tip on ESPNU. The game at 7 o'clock, 6 p.m. tip on CBS Sports Network will be Kent State and Akron. That's a huge matchup for that game. But Toledo Bowling Green, huge matchup for this one on ESPNU on Friday night. BG facing Toledo, taking their break, their three-game skid. Bowling Green coming off the loss against Central Michigan Tuesday night. It was a heartbreaker for them. They lost to Central Michigan by the score of 62-60 in overtime. They've lost three straight. They lost to University of Louisiana 86-60. They lost to Eastern Michigan 69-60, and they lost Central Michigan 62-60. They've lost double games against Central Michigan this weekend, this season. Once at the Stroh, 77-76 in double overtime, and now on Tuesday to Central Michigan 62-60. Well, the Rockets are coming off of a two-game winning streak as they have beaten Akron and have now taken the full swing into the lead into the MAC, in the MAC standings, with a 72-64 win over Akron on Tuesday. They beat Ohio 85-83, lost to Appalachian State in double overtime 109-104, but they beat Eastern Michigan at Eastern 91-87 and Akron 77-7. They lost to Akron at Akron 77-70. Bowling Green averages 75.2 points per game. Toledo averages 80.5 points a game. BG 43.5% for the field throw percentage to Toledo's 47.9, so 48% to 43%. Toledo averages 34 rebounds a game. Bowling Green averages 38 a game. Like I said, Bowling Green, three-game losing streak. Toledo on a two-game winning streak. Raheem Morris, averages about 16 points a game. He's 47.1% for the field goal stripe. He's 74% from the three-throw stripe. Marcus Hill, 21 points averaging per game. He's 45% from the field goal range, 73% from free throw stripes as well. So a huge game. BG, Toledo, they need to win this game. Raheem Morris averages about 16.3 points and 5.8 rebounds and 1.7 steals for the Rockets. And Dante Maddox is averaging 16.2 points over the last 10 games for the Rockets in the game. So it's a huge game at the Stroh, 7 o'clock tip at the Stroh Center. By the way, the women last night were on the court for both sides of the spectrum. For the Mid-American Conference games, Bowling Green, a huge win over Akron, 74-68. Toledo thumped Miami of Ohio, 68-36. And their game's on Saturday. BG is at Northern Illinois. Ball State, huge game for Toledo. Ball State at home, 2 o'clock tip. Ball State 23-3 overall. The University of Toledo 20-4. So it is for first place in the Mid-American Conference. Huge game. Huge game in the women's side. Playoffs started today. Ball State will be the 1 seed. Toledo will be the 2 seed. Kent State, 3 seed. Buffalo, 4 seed. BG would be a 5 seed. Western Michigan, 6 seed. NIU, 7 seed. And Miami of Ohio would be an 8 seed. Miami, Akron, Central Michigan, Eastern Michigan would be out of the tournament on the women's side of things. Men's side of things, by the way, for the Mid-American Conference tournament would look like this with regarding of it. The number 1 seed would be Akron right now. It'd be between Akron and Toledo. Akron or 1-2 would be Akron or Toledo, same way. 3 seed would be Central Michigan. 4 seed would be Ohio. 5th seed would be Bowling Green. 6th seed would be Kent State. 7th seed would be Miami of Ohio. 8th seed would be Western Michigan. And Ball State, Northern, Eastern Michigan, and Buffalo would be out of the Mid-American Conference tournament. So there is all of that. Games happening top 25 of the card in college basketball. Third-ranked Purdue will host Rutgers tonight, 7 o'clock tip, and 21st-ranked Washington State will battle Arizona, 11 o'clock on FS1. Other games happening tonight. SMU is taking FAU in a matchup there. Detroit Mercy, who is 1-27, will battle Wright State, 7 o'clock tip for that one. Ohio State will take on Minnesota at Minnesota. You have, let's see, anything. Michigan travels to Northwestern for a 9 p.m. tip. Louisiana Tech taking on UTEP. Yeah, pretty much it. Pretty much it in the college basketball realm. Also, got to make mention of this as well, too. It was announced today that all the FBS schools have been announced to be on the NCAA new NFL, a new college football game that will be released in 2025. Bowling Green was announced as one of the teams, as well as Toledo, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan. All the Power Five, as well as all the mid-major schools, will be a part of the new football game that's coming out by EA Sports in 2025. So looking forward to that as well. Diving into the golf side of things, of course, the Genesis last week. Surprises, of course. Tiger Woods withdrawing was a very, very shocking surprise on that realm. I did not see that coming. And, you know, we wish all the best to Tiger. Hope he gets better before the Masters. We are 50 days away from the Masters, of course. Of course, the big one was Jordan Spieth turning in his card and finding that he miscounted his strokes at one of the holes and then being disqualified from that. So absolutely shocked by that. But like I mentioned before, the Honda LPGA in Thailand taking place as we speak is Min Chang at 8 under par. She leads the group. In second place is Sam Kim at 6 under par. There's a bunch of players tied for third. Hojo Kim, Madeline Sandstrom, Jenny Shin, and Brooke Henderson also at 5 under par. Shot 5 under par for today. Patty Tan of Etiquette, 5 under par too. Min Han Lee, 5 under par as well too. Tied for 11th is Elizabeth Sokol, Wu Chan, Fadholm, as well as Herschel and Akura at 3 under par. Tied for 19th is Hannah Green, Alin Kim, Lena Strom, Nasahara Oka, as well as Emily Penderson, Jody Edwards-Standoff, as well as Aju Lin, as well as Grace Kim, Yuka Saso, Danielle Kang is at 3 under par as well. Riju Lin is at 3 under par too, tied for 19th. Tied for 30th, Allison Corpus, Andrea Lee, Lucy Lee, Hejun Choi, Paula Delacour, Lynn Grant is tied for 30th as well with Leona McGuire, Sarah Schwartzel, as Venezuela, as well as at 2 under par, as well as Celine Bior at 1 under par, tied for 42nd. Adi Askoff, Alexia Pero, Georgia Hall, Akin Hua, as well as Inhu Lee, and Margie Sangstrom as well too. Celine Boutier is at even par with Jugunda, as well as Munoz and Lee, also at even par as well too. Gabby Lopez tied for 51st at even par as well. Jennifer Kupcho 1 over par. Lilia Vu 1 over par. Lauren Conklin 1 over par. Jerome Dreiber 2 over par. Sarah Kemp, Anna Norquist tied for 2 over par. Charlie Hall 3 over par. Jasmine Suwanapor at 3 over par with Charlie Hall, Cheyenne Knight, and Jasmine Suwanapor both at 3 over par. All that action gets underway tonight, 10 p.m. on the Golf Channel. They'll go from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. on the Golf Channel as this tour event is taking place in Thailand. So there's that realm for you. And now I want to get into some pro wrestling really quickly. Of course, as we have this weekend is the Elimination Chamber that will take place in Perth, Australia. I want to get into the card really quickly with you guys, really briefly. The main event match will be the return of Rhea Ripley home to Australia. She is the Women's World Champion. She'll take on Nia Jax. I think Rhea retains the championship. You also have the Pete Dunne and his partner taking on the Judgment Day, Damian Priest and Finn Balor. I think Finn Balor and Damian Priest will retain the championship in that realm. You have the Grayson Waller effect that will be with Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. I think we're going to see an situation with the Usos involved with that, with the Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. I think that's going to be a situation there. Also, you have your two Elimination Chamber matches. Now, it's a good card. We're going to start with the women's match first. You have Raquel Rodriguez. You have Tiffany Stratton. You have Bianca Belair, Becky Lynch, Liv Morgan, and Naomi. Six competitors, all into the Elimination Chamber. Who do I think is going to win? I think Becky Lynch wins it. Who would be the shocking surprise to win it? I would say Liv Morgan. The upset would probably be Tiffany Stratton, but I doubt that she won't. Raquel Rodriguez coming back on Monday Night Raw was fantastic to see. But a lot of reports were saying that Jade Cargill was supposed to be in that match, and she's not ready. So Raquel was ready. So they put Raquel in that match. So I kind of agree with it. I think you have Jade Cargill face Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. I think that would be the dream match. I would love to see that match. Two good powerhouse women fighting tooth and nail. I think that would be the match. Honestly, that would be the match. I would want that match over anything. And then we get to the men's side of things. It is an Elimination Chamber match. You have Logan Paul. You have Drew McIntyre, Randy Orton. Oh my God, I forgot the other three that are in that match. McIntyre, Orton, Logan Paul. Kevin Owens. No, Kevin Owens qualified for it. Look at the other two. And by the way, it's Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate are the matches. So it's McIntyre, Orton, Bobby Lashley, LA Knight. Yeah. Kevin Owens and Logan Paul. I forgot LA Knight was in this match. Prediction to see who wins it. I'll take McIntyre to win the match. My surprise, if they win it, I would be Randy Orton. My shock would be LA Knight. LA Knight win it would be a shock. To have him face. I think LA Knight's going to face Logan Paul at WrestleMania. I think Lashley's going to be in the Street Profits are going to face the Resurrection. I think that's where that match is headed towards that for WrestleMania. You're starting to see everything shape out for WrestleMania, and especially on Monday Night Raw, to see Jey Uso so close to winning the Intercontinental Championship, and Jimmy Uso screwing it over. It just told me right there, Jimmy and Jey at WrestleMania for a match. I think you've got Jey, Rollins, and Jey, Seth, and I have to put a third person there to help Cody Rhodes win the championship as outside interference. Maybe a Kevin Owens. Maybe if Drew McIntyre wants to get back at the Bloodline, it would help that out. But, you know, we shall see. By the way, start times at 5 a.m. now, Eastern time, midnight over in Hawaii. It's a 6 o'clock in Australia. So now, here I say this because they got Friday Night SmackDown. That was taped. It's taped on Friday. They taped it because LA Knight's facing Drew McIntyre. How are they going to get to Perth, Australia in that time frame? So it's all taped. This one's taped. This one's a taped one. So we know that's for certain. Our thoughts and prayers are with Shotzi on her injury that she took at NXT. It's bad to see that injury too. I watched that match and I saw that happen. I was very, very shocked and very, very sad to see her go down with that injury. But yeah, that's the four matches for the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view that will happen at 5 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. It's supposed to start at 3 a.m. our time. So, yeah, that would be interesting. Very, very interesting. As you're watching and listening to All Andy Elford tonight right here on the All Andy Elford Network, whether it be on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you're listening, wherever and whenever you're listening, thank you for tuning in as well as watching us live on Facebook Live. We're going to dive right into Andy Rants tonight. And I want to get into this really quickly because what we are seeing this weekend in Bowling Green. Of course, BGUT tomorrow night, 7 o'clock tip at the Stroh Center, the Battle of I-75. I have a bone to pick with the AD of Bowling Green State University. Okay, so this weekend, we have two major sporting events that are happening in BG. The basketball game taking place at the Stroh Center Friday, but Friday and Saturday nights at Slater Family Ice Arena. Huge game. Huge game. Big playoff implications at the Slater Family Ice Arena. A big weekend. Bowling Green's hockey team will take on Michigan Tech. 7:37 puck drop Friday night, and Saturday is a 7:07 puck drop. If you want to go try to, if you have tickets available left, I didn't check yet. Saturday's the night that you want to go. Saturday, they are honoring the 1984 National Championship team. Big, very, very big. But the AD has not promoted this. And I would want to make mention of what we come to find out, too, that the basketball game trumps the hockey team. And I'm sad to see this happen because as a former Bowling Green State University student, I preferred going to the hockey games than the basketball games. They're encouraging students to go to the basketball game over the hockey game. And it's going to look bad for Bowling Green in that realm because a lot of the 1984 team will be at the games both Friday and Saturday. And to have this game and this team be honored that weekend and then be trumped because of the BGUT basketball game is a sad thing. Absolutely sad. And I blame the athletic director for his greed and his misunderstanding of everything. I believe that, you know, and a lot of people like me are in agreement that the money from the basketball, and the problem I have, the real problem I have is you move the hockey game to 7:37 on Friday night. The parking situation is going to be difficult. A lot of people go to those games. A lot of people go to the hockey games. You get 2,500 in attendance. And you get 3,000 over at the Stroh. You got 5,000. You put all the cars and the RVs and everything in the situation in that realm. It's going to be a clusterfuck. It's going to be a clusterfuck when it comes to that. And so I don't like what the AD did. I really don't. I don't think it's a good idea. It's not a good move. If I would have liked it, I would have wanted to keep the basketball game on Saturday because it's, you know, a lot of people from Toledo have to get off of work and make that drive down. And, you know, you've got a lot of people doing the same thing when it comes to the hockey games. They're making the drive over. They're getting off of work. And you're moving this hockey game to 7:37. It's just embarrassing. I mean, it's all about money. I understand that. You want to get that television revenue from ESPN and ESPNU. The game's on ESPNU. Even if it was on ESPN and ESPN2, I would understand that. But it's on ESPNU, which is the fourth great. Fourth great. Because I go ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN+, ESPNU. That's what I think of the ESPNU. It's not good. Because it's all You got to get the cable package and the bundle package and everything like that just to get the ESPNU. I think and I believe that Bowling Green, they screwed themselves with this weekend. And they're not promoting this 1984 situation. You know, and this is a big game also regarding of the CCHA playoffs. Bowling Green's number two, Michigan Tech's number one. This is huge. My focus would be on the hockey side of the thing because that's a revenue, more of a revenue booster than the basketball team. And I wrote my thesis statement over why we should invest more into the hockey program and the hockey and building a new hockey arena than building a basketball stadium that's not gonna that sits empty 9 times out of 10. The community isn't involved to go over to the Stroh Center and just hoop it up on the hard court. But they invite the community into the Slater Family Ice Arena for open skates and high school games that get played there and minor midget games that get played there and everything else. They use that facility more and they get more revenue from the Slater Family Ice Arena than they do the Stroh Center. So the AD really needs to, you know, look at his priorities with regarding of, you know, of the hockey program. The hockey program's here. And then just and the basketball program's here. And then the NBA and regarding the students, you're encouraging the students to go to the basketball game because it's the Battle of I-75. I understand that. But I've talked to so many students. I've been a student. We don't like going to the Stroh Center. A, it's too long of a walk from campus to all the way out there. Number two, we're a more intimate setting and more fan-friendly in hockey than it is in the basketball thing. And three, true, they do have nice giveaways when it comes to the basketball program, but for the love of God, we don't. That's it's terrible. The hockey, more fans and more students go to hockey games than they do do basketball games. How they go more for volleyball than they do the basketball. The few times that I've seen that student section filled are either for, like, the big schools that come to town, like when Michigan State came to town for me when I was at the university, or when there's ever a big school comes to town. The Toledo game does draw a lot of students to go to the game. I understand that because it's the Battle of I-75. But when you competed against the hockey program, it's bad news. Absolute bad news. So for me, the AD did the wrong thing. And not to promote this 1984 national championship team coming to the town, it's terrible. Like, we found out about the Corso bobblehead at the beginning of the college football season. A lot of people didn't know about it until they showed up to the stadium the day that they played Akron. A lot of people. So there. That's number one. Number two. The amount of people that stretch your limit. I've had so many people that have stretched me out when it comes to things. It's just ridiculous. I like days like today where I could do this podcast, I could relax, I could, you know, take my time throughout the day. I don't need to be stressed out, pushed around, and, you know, burdened. So take some time, relax. That's all I need. That's what I got. Some information on my life, basically, right now. We're in the process. Did the second day. I've done 2 days of Amadeus rehearsals. If you're interested and become and being part of our production of Amadeus. Please send a Facebook message to me. I'll get you some information. We're looking for a couple people, a couple actors that are non-speaking roles. So you just be on the stage, to come on stage and act as a valet as well as the emperor of the play. So if you're interested, let me know. Post it on our Facebook, post it on the Facebook page as well as on that on the X account as well. Like I mentioned, we are in the process of figuring out what we're going to do with the stadium series, whether it be a house or a hotel. We'll get you some information on that, what we're going to do, if we're going to rent or whatnot. Thinking of anything else off the top of my head. This weekend, busy weekend for me, of course. I got an early event Saturday morning going with my sister. Then Saturday afternoon, I will be headed out to Tam O'Shanter for the Toledo Golf Show. If you're coming out to the Toledo Golf Show, which will happen this weekend, get out there. A lot of great deals, a lot of courses that will be out there, a lot of great things to look at too. It's $8 at the door, $7 in advance for tickets. I'll be at the golf show on Saturday, perusing, seeing what's going on. And I might step into one of the hockey games at Tamo if they got anything going on in the afternoon. We'll see what happens. Like I mentioned before, Sunday I will be at the Huntington Center for the big game, 5:15 puck drop between Fort Wayne and Toledo. I'm in 116. If you find me, I'm in the aisle. Find me, say hello. I'll be doing my intermission report. So looking forward to that. And I'm looking forward to the game. I really am. I want to see what this guy has to offer. Really, really do. Really, really do. So we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. But that's all the time I have for you tonight right here on All Andy Elford. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. I hope if you haven't subscribed, what are you doing? Hit the subscribe button. We do podcasts each week right here on All Andy Elford. I hope you enjoyed tonight's program. And as always, I'm pulling for you. We're all in this together. The game of life. Keep your stick on the ice. And to the teams you root for at home, and to my teams, go Jackets! Get it done against Buffalo. Go Walleye. Go Falcons. Beat Toledo and beat Michigan Tech. And more birdies, less bogeys. Because victory is sweetest when you have tasted defeat. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'll talk to you guys next week for another edition of All Andy Elford. I love you. Talk to you then. This has been a presentation of the All Andy Elford Network on the All Andy Elford Network. Whether it's been on Apple Music, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Bleaker, however you listen to our show, wherever and whenever you listen to our podcast, thank you for tuning into the show. And always, you can be a part of our show by following us on X at AllAndyElford or on Facebook.com/AllAndyElford as we do our podcast live on Facebook Live. This show has been a presentation of the Spotify Podcast Network.